Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. I hope you're all doing very well today. Thank you so much for listening to these episodes that we put out twice a week. I appreciate it. You can find the video versions of the interviews on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, and sometimes YouTube. The audio versions are available wherever podcasts are served. You're probably listening to it there. You can take an additional step of rating the show if you like, if you're so inclined. Like that guy that gave me a one-star review for saying that that 90% of my information was easily disprovable and that I had a whiny voice and I tell stupid stories. So, hey, listen, you might be onto something. You might be right. I might tell stupid stories and have a whiny voice. But let's see your evidence, dipshit. Let's maybe we have you on here. We can have a little debate. You bring your evidence, I'll bring mine. We'll see who wins anyway. I'm just kidding. But thank you all for rating the show. Doesn't really matter all that much to me, but I know it does to the algorithms and they, you know, or maybe to people that are considering whether or not they're going to listen to the show. I mean, after that one star review, I'm sure people are just deleting me right off of their app. But what are you going to do? You know, we're in a weird time. Obviously, have you been alive for the last 2 years? We're in a weird time, and it's you know, I think we would probably, like, if you had to choose a term to describe what we've been going through. It's just uncertainty. You know, every single component of your life, there's just uncertainty surrounding it. It's your job or, you know, what you're allowed to say or, you know, whether or not you're going to be locked up in your house or whether or not you can get on a plane anymore or go internationally. It's just uncertainty. Like, who the hell can manage their lives with having to deal with stuff like that? So I look at that and I think, if I have the ability to take certain components of my life and change them from uncertain to certain, I try to do it. Try to make myself feel a little bit more comfortable doing that. One of the things that I did in order to get myself to a place where I felt less uncertainty was that I started to I started to think about a scenario in which I was going to be stuck with the things that I currently have, and only the things that I currently have, and that I needed to consider if I'm buying something that's going to take a while to get here, if it even gets here at all. So I've started doing things in advance, bought a new computer in advance. My current one didn't break, but I thought I was going to need a new one pretty soon. Got that. I have bought a bunch of stuff from My Patriot Supply. They're a sponsor of the show. You can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and buy their storable food. I've done it. I've got containers of the food. And I can't really express to you accurately how that made me feel when I knew that I had all of that stuff. Now, I'm not pretending that we're not going to still have problems and things like that. And I'm not going to pretend that that's going to necessarily save me from all of the insanity out there. But it was one less thing for me to have to really worry about. So I am imploring you all to think about that stuff. If you are interested in using my sponsors for that, obviously I encourage that, but I encourage you to do it regardless. Whoever, if you can't get yourself to preparewithmacroaggressions.com, or if it's, I don't know, if it's just financially not in a place where you can swing it right now, that's cool. Just go to the grocery store and start buying some food. Just go down the aisles that you never go down and see if there's anything there that you think you might need and you think you might want. And I realize it's going to cost a lot of money right now, but man, how do you put a price on that when supply chains are broken down and things? I run this balancing act between trying to inform people gently and nicely and not trying scaring the shit out of them, you know, but it's scary. The idea of going without and not having these things is scary. So look, if you are in a position where you have more money than time, go to mypatriotsupply.com, buy yourself some storable food, buy some for your family as well, have it shipped to them. You can buy it for other people too. Don't forget about that. I mean, Merry Christmas. I got you some food. Might not be the most glamorous Christmas present you've ever gotten, but it might show up at a time when you are very thankful for it. So you might be the greatest Christmas present you're. Could you imagine getting storable food as a Christmas present? I don't know if I'd be mortified by that or think that the person giving it to me was super based. I'd probably be really grateful that I didn't have to go out and think about this stuff anymore. So, but if you have more time than money, then maybe you want to consider doing it a different way. Maybe you want to get to Costco and buy some big things. You buy it one at a time, or you learn how to grow food. What'd you think of the Jim Gale interview, huh? Had him on for Food Forest Abundance, man. What a cool concept and a great dude. And when we got done recording that, I talked to him afterwards for like 30 minutes. And he's just such a good human being who wants the best for us. He's so positive. So look, start thinking about that stuff. Start thinking about getting yourself ready. Start thinking about getting your body ready. The chemicalfreebody.com has been our sponsor for a while now. You can use the promo code MACRO. Get yourself some nutritious supplements and things like that. You're going to need it. Go to c60purplepower.com. Use the promo code MACRO there. Get yourself items that are going to restore your cellular health. I mean, they're going to help you out a lot with that. You're going to need it. We're going to need all this stuff. We're going to need to be operating at like maximum capacity. And of course, listen, one more thing. Turn some of that fiat currency into actual tangible metal. Gold coins, silver bars. Turn your 401k into tangible physical metal. You can do all that through Tony Arterburn at Wise Wolf. He's nice enough to set up a website for us, www.macroaggressions.gold. It's like macroaggressions.com, except you just switched out, but .gold. That will take you to a landing page where you can contact Tony and tell him what you're interested in. He'll walk you through the process. He'll make it super easy. He can mail stuff to you wherever you are. I feel like it's important to have a partner with, you know, with gold and silver that you trust, that you know. You'll be connected directly to Tony, so you can talk to him about it. You can get to know him a little bit. I feel comfortable sending people to him because it's Tony. I definitely want people to be thinking about holding their assets in a different form of currency. We've had a lot of crypto guys on. They'll talk to you about Bitcoin. They'll talk to you about privacy coins like Monero and Pirate Chain and things like that. Listen, all great options. All these options are on the table, because when you see them hyperinflating the currency like they did last year, you don't have to have an economics degree to know that that's going to have an impact with the value in the price and the purchasing power of the dollar. So, and what are we experiencing right now? Issues with the purchasing price and the value of the dollar. What a fucking surprise. It's almost like, you know, when you print 40% of all dollars in 2020, that it does something to the currency. It's amazing that way, right? The invisible hand just working on those little marketplaces for you. So look, just start thinking about this stuff. We know that the current narrative going out right now is that 4.4 million Americans quit their jobs in September. And you know the reason why we're told they did that is because there's just all these other opportunities and they just quit their jobs sight unseen and took jobs elsewhere. Or they were thinking about taking jobs elsewhere. Oh, God damn it. No, they quit their jobs because they don't want to take your vaccine. Stop lying. Stop it. It's unbecoming of you in the media. Well, actually, it's very becoming of them, but it's so transparent. And these agendas that are running around, now we've got, hey, listen, we've got, Big Bird is vaccinated. Are we all just a little bit traumatized by this? I would have been convinced that bird flu would have got him. And since it didn't, I figure he probably had antibodies or something. You know, they, Saturday Night Live, man, they marched out that Sesame Street skit. Comedy skit? I mean, I put the word comedy in quotes. Oh my God, it's so bad. I'm embarrassed for Saturday Night Live. I think a lot of people are too. They are, well, you know, it used to be a thing. There's a formula for comedy that I think that these people have forgotten, and that, you know, you need to be a little bit edgy. And the point of getting good laughs is when you go against the established narrative, when you make fun of that, it's not funny. When you try to reinforce the horseshit narrative, you just come across looking like a cuck, you know, like a television show that's woke. Is there anything less appealing than woke Saturday Night Live? I mean, it's just embarrassingly bad. And you're Joe Rogan, you know, I see what you're doing. Lorne Michaels and all the writers at Saturday Night Live. I see what you're doing by attacking Joe Rogan. You want him to talk about you on his show, on his wildly popular show, on his show that has more viewers than you guys have. You need Joe Rogan to talk about you. You know why? Because nobody's watching. Nobody's watching. And I'm sure he's going to get right on that, since he just had Shane Gillis on the group. With Mark Norman and Ari Shaffir. You guys watched that one? That was funny. There's a follow-up video to that, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Ari Shaffir put it out, and it's in the car with the three of them in the car going to Skankfest. And they recorded a podcast in the car while they're driving. They had like multiple cell phone cameras set up. And it was hysterical, man. It was great. And they were talking about like a recap of their show. And anyway, I'm a bit sidetracked with that, but I thought it was great. I think you can catch that on YouTube, but don't worry. If you dislike the video, they've taken the step of removing the ability for you to dislike that video or any video like it because, you know, YouTube. I mean, I'm sure it didn't have anything at all to do with Joe Biden videos getting massive disapprovals. But someone has found a flaw in the system. Oh, yes, they have already found a flaw in the system. So what you do is when you find a YouTube video that you don't like, someone will write a comment that will say, dislike, and then everyone likes the comment in the comment. You know what I mean? Everybody goes and likes that comment that says dislike, and so then you ratio people that way. It's a weird time to be dealing with narratives and dealing with the media and listening to the things that they want to talk about, because, you know, look, they're rarely the things that the media prioritizes are rarely priorities. They just pick things out and it's part of a new agenda. And so they start talking about it to the point where you're just nauseous. But if you had to make a list of the 100 most important things to be dealing with in the world, usually the things that the media obsesses over, they're not on the list. What we've seen lately, though, is this, I guess it's some sort of mental gymnastics to assign a connection between COVID and climate change. It is a real treat to watch this because there's no link, right? There's as much of a link between COVID and climate change as there is a link between, you know, COVID and the carpet industry. You know, that doesn't make any sense. There's no connection to it. But that's not going to stop the media from trying to create a narrative. And if we know what the media is good at, it's taking nonsensical things and creating narratives around them. So what you see is this pivot from COVID to climate change. And I went into a little bit about this on Tinfoil Hat with Sam, but I didn't really, you know, you can't go too deep. You've got to, on Tinfoil Hat, you have to have ADD a little bit. You have to have the flexibility to jump from topic to topic. So you can't get a deep dive on that. Though I wanted to, that wasn't what I was there for. So I'm going to do it here. I'm going to do it in macroaggressions and just kind of go a little bit more into detail about this fascinating and totally devoid of logic argument that they're currently putting out, the NIH is putting out, National Institute of Health, that they just released this thing that the title is Climate Change During the COVID-19 Outbreak, Scoping Future Perspectives. That's the name of the document. All right. So in this document, it starts with an abstract. That's what these intellectual types, when they're doing their reports, it starts with the abstract. It's like, this is what we're going to talk about. This is the point of it all, right? So this is how it starts. And you'll be pleased to know that it starts right off the bat with a gigantic lie, just so you know where you're going. Okay. Neither war nor recession or any kind of prior disaster has been considered a prelude to the looming threat of climate change over the past era, as COVID-19 has in only a few months. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Really? Really? Climate change has never been connected to anything as important as COVID-19. What about volcanoes? I mean, can I ask just a really simple and logical, reasonable, scientific, I know science isn't a big thing with these people, question? Have you taken into account volcanoes? Because the Icelandic volcano from a couple years ago. We talked about this before. It put more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than all of human industrial pollution, construction over the course of the lifetime of all of mankind. All of the negative carbon outputs that people have been putting out for the last 2,000 years, let's just say 2,000 years. God, who knows how old we are. But let's just pick a number, 2,000 years, right? All of the carbon output that we, you know, the manufacture, the refining of petroleum and the manufacturing of plastics and exhaust from cars, all of that from every car that's ever existed and every business that's ever manufactured something and every Rockefeller company that's ever polluted with all of their atmospheric carbon that they're releasing, all of that stuff for all of mankind's existence was exceeded by one volcanic earthquake. So what the fuck are we doing? Okay, what are we doing? Seriously? Okay, it's not going to be about actually changing the climate. It will be sold to us as that, we understand that. But it's not about that. It's the cover story that is going to be used for the reason why they're going to try to transform society into this build back better fourth industrial revolution situation. They're going to use the threat of climate change as the reason why we have to modify our behavior in every single component of human existence. But it's not actually about that. That's the most frustrating thing. Look, if it was really about it, you know, if in actuality we were destroying the world with what we were putting out there. And I'm not trying to downplay pollution at all. I'm not trying to say that. Pollution is real and there is pollution and we need to be better about it and we can be better about it. But this incessant drumming on of the world's going to end in 12 years and Antarctica will be ice free and the polar bears will be on these skinny little icebergs drifting off to a, you know, who knows where, definitely going to die, because all that stuff is propaganda. It's all bullshit. I love the earth. I live on the earth. I'm pretty sure you guys live on the earth too, except for the guy that gave me one star in the review. I'm pretty sure he's from somewhere else. But I have to live on this planet. I want what's best for it too. If I thought that paying a carbon tax to the World Economic Forum would make the place a better place, maybe I would be inclined to do so. I don't think I would, but maybe I would. The problem is, so many people are going to be doing other things than paying attention to this. And what's going to happen is that next thing you know, it's just going to be here. And you're going to be forced to do what they want. So the most looming threat of climate change, you know, these guys had been talking about this for 50 years, climate change, right? It's going to kill us. You know, 1989, they put out a article that said, you know, we have 12 years till the world end. I mean, every couple of years, there's an article that comes out saying we have 12 years. I don't know why they keep choosing that number, but they do. They don't always, but they choose it a lot. It seems weird to me. Maybe that's just 12 years is long enough for you to think it's going to happen in your lifetime, but not so long that it makes you have to do anything about it right now. I'm not really sure, but for the 50 years that they've been trying to use this to scare the shit out of people, what they're saying is that the one thing that really is the worst for climate change is COVID. And I am scratching my bald ass head trying to figure out what that is. Wars aren't, we're not talking, wars aren't a greater contributor to climate change. Did you know that the woke US military pollution is more than just the United States military, which would get an exemption on all this green horseshit. Anyway, but just the U.S. military, not the United States as a whole, just the military. They pollute more than New Zealand, more than Norway, Switzerland, Finland, Hungary, Morocco, Sweden, and Peru. They put out 48 million tons of CO2, more than all of these other countries. They have 60,000 Humvees that get between 4 and 8 miles to the gallon. But COVID is causing climate change? Please explain. I'm dying to know how a virus can put that much carbon into the atmosphere, because it's fascinating. So, wouldn't the shutdown forced by the lockdowns have been better for the climate, since nobody was driving around, right? Right? And in fact, it was. They went and did radar mapping of CO2 outputs in different cities, and they're showing, like, this is Wuhan normally. It's like, you know, bright red, like red and yellow in this heat map. And then it's like, and then this is Wuhan, like, 8 months after COVID. And it's like, look, there's nothing there. Yeah. They welded all their people in the fucking apartment complexes. I mean, of course there's less carbon output. There's less people, probably. I don't know. Who knows what they're doing in China? But, you know, that they also talk about, COVID is the most dangerous component to climate change, and they leave out all of the other things that also could have contributed to climate change. You know, like nuclear bomb testings that we've been doing for, I don't know, 75 years or so. Seems like that would probably be kind of bad for the atmosphere, right? What about Fukushima? I don't hear anything about Fukushima anymore. Why is that? A nuclear reactor that is spewing contaminated radioactive waste into the Pacific Ocean and has been doing so for the past 12 years. We're not hearing anything about that. Why not? Did it get fixed? No, it didn't. I'll spare you the surprise there. Fukushima has not gotten fixed. It's not going to get fixed. So anyway, it's just interesting to me that the NIH is going to do this extensive study, trying to tie these two things together, trying to tie climate change and COVID. This is fascinating to watch. It's not, you know, they dance around some of the more obvious questions that we have about COVID. I'm not trying to say that COVID was a good thing necessarily or anything, but it's like they fail to mention that there's a whole lot of medical waste now. Have you seen, I know Ryan over at Last American Vagabond has been posting pictures of like masks out in the wild, you know, like masks on the ground and in the gutter and thrown in bushes and things like that. So we're doing all of the things that you're not supposed to do. We're polluting, and we're taking the medical, you know, those masks that you're supposed to put in specific medical disposal trash cans, that because it's medical waste, just leave it anywhere. Oh, you've been breathing in this disposable shitty mask from China all day long. Just throw it in the ground. Just throw it in the trash can. I'm sure the guy emptying the trash is fine picking that up and everything. If we can just save one life with these vaccines, oh, I've got a dirty mask. Throw it anywhere. Do whatever you want. Who cares? So they talk about that. They begin that abstract like I mentioned. They say, we are facing the greatest pandemic that humans have faced in history. Well, that's just a straight up lie. That's just not even close to being true. Really? But worse than black plague, worse than Spanish flu and all these. Stop. Look, if the numbers that they were putting out were actually real, maybe we'd be in the discussion for that. But the numbers that they're using to create cases were done by faulty PCR testing. We know that the classification of death, they adjusted that in March of 2020 before the pandemic really got going, like in the first 2 weeks of it. They made the changes to death certificate reporting. Why you would do that right when a pandemic was going to start, I don't know, unless you were trying to manipulate the numbers. So they did all those things. So if all the numbers were accurate and true and all the deaths were real and they weren't people, you know, dying in skydiving accidents, getting COVID put on their death certificate, then yeah, maybe we could be talking about this as a huge pandemic. But since we know that the numbers are fake, then we know that the idea of it being a pandemic is fake. We also can extrapolate out that this is not the greatest pandemic humans have faced in history, because it's not a pandemic. It's horseshit. It's a pandemic of fake government numbers and fake big pharma numbers and Anthony Fauci numbers and Niels Ferguson number, you know, all these guys that started this early on with the fake numbers, they're the ones that created this. How many people do you know that have just up and dropped dead from COVID? Not many. I mean, not COVID specific. I know I have a friend's mother who died from it. She was 80 years old and been overweight for 4 decades. Like, seriously overweight, had bad health conditions. So, like, look, if you've lowered your immunity to a point where this bioweapon, COVID, or the bioweapon, the vaccine, gets into you, you're going to have a hard time with it. But this is not a one-size-fits-all sort of situation. I mean, obviously, we have to talk about the fact of obesity playing a huge role in this, just poor health in general. Yeah, if you're morbidly obese, it's going to get you. But if it doesn't get you, something else will, because you're morbidly obese. That's the point. When you put yourself in that situation, man, anything can get you. So, can we ask another reasonable question? What is the carbon footprint of the vaccine industry? Has anybody figured this out? Like, I know that they're all up in arms about Bitcoin, and Bitcoin uses too much energy and blah, blah, blah. First of all, stop it. Second of all, yeah, look, I understand mining Bitcoin requires a lot of energy. That's the reason why there's companies that have big mining farms up in like Iceland. You know, they just like slide the doors open on the side and help to cool off everything easier. I understand that, but I would imagine the carbon footprint of Bitcoin mining at this point, considering how many coins have already been mined, is probably negligible. But what is the carbon footprint of the vaccine industry, right? It's a globalist industry. You've got them making lipids in Canada. You've got them making things in China. You've got them assembling things in Spain. So you're sending a lot of things all over the place. You're creating new industry. Oh, everybody's got to, we got to create all this plastic, all these plastic dividers everywhere. We got to put a plastic divider here and a plastic divider there. What is that doing for the environment? Is that okay? No, it's COVID. So, man, it's fine. Okay. They continue. An increasing number of infectious diseases such as HIV/AIDS, SARS, MERS, Ebola have spread from wildlife to humans, and it has been evident that COVID-19 has been transmitted by the same route. That's another lie. We're not doing well in this NIH document. They're trying to tie COVID to climate, and they come right out of the gate with just lie after lie after lie. HIV, SARS, MERS, and Ebola did not spread from wildlife to humans. They spread from level 4 biofacilities to humans. under the direction of guys like Fauci, and with the help of guys like Ralph Baric, that we know. But here they are. The NIH is still trying to sell this turd that it came from bats. Now, to be fair, this document came out in May of 2021. So maybe, I guess after that was when they came to the agreement that it wasn't started by bats in a wet market. As we already knew. But they're still, they go on to literally say that this is so unbelievably stupid to say, but I have to say it because it's in their thing. They say that climate change may have caused COVID. They said it in the document that climate change may have caused COVID. This is, look, it's tough. It's tough for me to read through this with a straight face because these things are not, they're obviously not true. But the problem is that NIH is a respected, or at least it was, a respected institution. So if I come out and say these people are lying, I'm easy to dismiss. I'm nobody, right? But NIH, they sound important, right? It's the National Institute of Health. It's not like the regional institute. It's national. It's like the big boy. And they have all this money. You know how many, you know, that over $100 billion has flowed through Anthony Fauci's hands at his discretion, who to give it to. I mean, of course you're going to have his back if you're a scumbaggy scientist and Anthony Fauci has provided you over the years with millions and millions and millions of dollars. How do you think this all works? Why do you think Bill Gates has given billions of dollars with a B to the mainstream media? To hundreds and hundreds obscure media outlets you've never even heard of before. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has given these companies tons of money. The reason is because he's buying their publicity. He's buying their loyalty and he's buying their silence. That's how you do it. So the pivot to climate change from COVID is going to happen in an academic sense, that these people are going to use the same sort of scientific method, and I use scientific method in air quotes here, to convince you that climate change is real the same way they convinced you that COVID was real. And if you don't believe it, what are you, some sort of unhinged conspiracy theorist? You know, so they'll do the shaming, belittling, and all of that. Then they'll work on your low information friends first, the ones that just watch the television and think that they're doing research. They'll hit them first. They'll give them the talking points about climate change. They've already been doing it. We know what's going on, but just expect this to ramp up. I mean, and that's not my speculation. You got the guy on Project Veritas on the hidden video at CNN saying, yeah, you know, we're kind of pivot away from Trump more into climate change for the tail end of 2021 and moving forward. It's like, okay, so you've admitted that this is a narrative that you're crafting. You know, it's if you've already made the decision of what the news is going to be talking about 6 months from now, then can we at least put to rest the idea that the news is somehow organic and authentic? Because it is not the nightly news, not your 60 Minutes, where Anderson Cooper is going to get to the bottom of the supply chain issue. So expect to see the same tactics used. They're going to use the peer-reviewed scientific documents, which just means that a bunch of guys got in the same room together and they said, hey, over there, buddy, your document, I like it. It's good. Do you like my document? I like your document too. And then you say, hey, you over there, do you like my document? I like your document too. Do you like mine? I like yours. It looks real good. There you go. All of our documents have now been peer reviewed. So that means they're good. They're excellent. In fact, they are above reproach. Peer reviewed scientific documents are now above reproach. You literally cannot question them. except that the peer review process is utter garbage. And anybody that has been involved in that knows it. So expect that. But then let's talk about some of the more, I don't know, maybe humorous parts of it. There's not going to be much to laugh at. So we should take this where we can get it. But I think I've mentioned this before here. I definitely have mentioned it on other shows, but the lady from, like, I think it's the Alberta Health, where she goes up to the podium and does the ritual, the COVID ritual, the two pumps of Purell in her hands, the very meticulous unfurling of the mask from her ears, tucking the flaps, you know, neatly together, placing the mask on the podium in front of her, and then double pumping the Purell again and wiping it on her hands before she takes a breath and gets into what she's talking about. And she's got her COVID rituals down, you know, she's got the cult of COVID, the religion of COVID with their talismans and things like that. She's got her mask. She's got her Purell. She's got her social distancing. But this is all going to turn into climate rituals as well. And we'll see more of that. I'm not sure exactly what they'll look like, but I can speculate. It'll have something to do with shaming the shit out of you if you don't drive a Prius or an electric car or something like that. That'll be a real component of it. Never mind the fact that it gets the electricity for your plug-in car from burning coal, but we're all supposed to pretend that electricity is clean, right? Hey, I'm not burning petroleum. No, you're right. You're not burning petroleum. The electricity that you're using for your electric car is coming from burning coal. So you're not saving anything. You're just moving from one resource to another. But it makes you feel good, and you get to put pictures on Facebook about you're doing your part. So think of this. Think of where this is going. You know, it's not about the science. Again, whether it be COVID or climate, it's not about the science. It will be about compliance, and it will be about behavior modification, much in the way that you have been modified through the directives of your state and local government, maybe even, also federal government, but then also just store by store, city by city, sort of random enforcements of unusual things. Like this city, oh, you got to have we're in this county, you got to have the mask on to come in. You're like, why? The county 2 miles away isn't doing that. Yeah, well, we voted on it. And so you're going to get this incongruent and inconsistent enforcement of climate laws and actions and things like that. But be assured of one thing. The purpose of it all is not to save the world, though we should be prioritizing something along those lines. But And not that we're going to save the world. I should say we shouldn't prioritize trying to save the world. We should prioritize trying to not be a bunch of dicks to the planet that we live on, right? The planet, as George Carlin said, planet's going to be fine. The people are fucked. But it's true. The planet is more than likely going to be fine unless we start setting off nuclear bombs and things like that. I should say more nuclear bombs. But really, what this all is about modifying your behavior, not modifying ExxonMobil's behavior. They're going to get an exemption. They're not going to be doing any of this stuff. You can be assured of that, that for all the packages that Amazon sends that fly on all those airplanes that are spewing carbon all over the place, they'll get an exemption. Don't worry. But you're going to start to hear the same sorts of methods for COVID or for climate that you hear during COVID. So it's going to be authoritative sources of information. Remember that? That's Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, that ghoul. I mean, it doesn't help that she also looks like a skeleton on top of that. It must be like, there must be something that happens to your soul when you sell it. I guess what happens is that Jacinda Ardern looks like a human being without a soul, and it just makes you sort of uglier, physically uglier. It manifests in your physical appearance because she looks ghoulish to me. She looks sick, unwell. She's obviously mentally unwell, but she looks physically unwell too. A lot of these people do. They don't. Can we just backtrack for a second and recognize the comedy of the health ministers that have been pushing the vaccines and everything? The fat, you know, that fat Danish lady, the one that looks like the extra fat sister in 1,000-Pound Sisters on TLC. You ever see that show? Oh my God, it's the worst thing ever. But the health minister, I want to say in like Denmark. Maybe it's either Denmark or maybe it was, I don't know. I have to look it up. But she's enormous and she's the health minister. I'm not trying to shit on people that are fat. Well, maybe I am a little bit, but I mean, be whoever you want to be, right? But don't be the health minister when you're fat. And all of the insanity surrounding that, that just makes me laugh. So you're going to be told that it only comes from authoritative sources. The information that you're allowed to digest will only come from, if it's not coming from the media, the established media, of course, or the government. And let's be honest, it's hard to pry them apart from one another these days. Then it's not real. Then they'll tell you that it's bad. It's bad science. They will tell you again to trust the science. You will hear that term, trust the science, registered trademark. That will be everywhere again. And of course, if there's one thing we learned through this is that science can be bought. You can buy scientists, just like you can buy statisticians, you can buy media personalities, you can buy governments. If you got enough money, just about everything is for sale. So you're going to see that the science is going to be politicized as well, just like COVID. How dare you talk about climate change? What are you trying to kill all the polar bears? Trust the science. The science came out and it said blah, blah, blah. And you have to trust that. And then what we'll see, as we always see, given enough time, all of those things that they told you about will be proven to be lies, because they are. The science will be challenged by others that are doing actual science. They will present conflicting data, which already exists, showing that these people are lying about climate science and have been for 50 years. So expect like COVID to electric boogaloo, but it'll be climate related, which will be super annoying and probably won't have, well, it might have turbo in it, but it definitely won't have ozone. It definitely won't have ozone. That's a Breakin' reference for all of you people that ever saw the movie Breakin' in 1984. But part of this behavior modification, we're already starting to see them lay the groundwork for it. It's a psychological operation that's happening right now that we've seen being rolled out by the World Economic Forum, talking about how delicious bugs are, right? Now, right now in 2021, the idea of us going around and eating cicadas and grasshoppers and things like that, it's not happening. It doesn't sound real or reasonable or realistic. But I would suggest if you got in your DeLorean and set it for 2019, and we had the conversation about COVID and all the things that you'd be doing or be asked to do or be forced to do, you would probably say the same thing there. So let's not be dismissive of the no meat, no fossil fuels, you'll eat the bugs philosophy, because given enough time with the media banging that drum, given enough time with the dumbed down people interpreting that as the gospel or science or whatever, you will have a segment of the population clamoring for the most delicious grasshoppers they've ever seen. And you think that won't happen, and I'm telling you, it's coming. I mean, it's not coming for me. I won't even eat Brussels sprouts, let alone cockroaches, but it's coming. I'll eat a Brussels sprout before I eat cockroaches. How about lockdowns? How about climate lockdowns? I mean, in this NIH document, climate change during the COVID-19 outbreak, scoping future perspectives, in this document, they show satellite maps of these cities during the lockdowns and how the carbon footprint of the, the CO2 measuring for that region was substantially reduced, 50% in like certain countries, even more in others. So think about that for a second. That happened for COVID. They weren't trying to get the carbon down. They just noticed there's less people driving around in Los Angeles, so there's less smog in downtown Los Angeles. So therefore, if we had more lockdowns, there would be less people out driving, and therefore fewer people on the freeway, and therefore fewer emissions. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Yeah, we've all been wanting that forever. Any of us that have lived in LA, we all dreamed of a day when we'd wake up and there'd be no more cars on the road. Unfortunately, this is not the way you want it to happen, because I'm afraid that these people are going to start to take this concept of lockdowns for COVID and use that for climate change. Again, sounds crazy now, but you wait. You wait. Social distancing sounds crazy in 2019 until you see some lady trying to make sure that you're standing on the round dot on the floor in the grocery store that wasn't there in 2019, but it's there now. And you need to stand on that dot. And it's 6 feet away from the other dot. But there's a, you know, but, and you're supposed to like normalize that. And you're supposed to say, oh, this is all normal. I go stand on the dots. Just to be crystal clear, and I'm sure this is going to come as a surprise to none of you, I intentionally stand away from the dots. I'm just such a dick, I guess, in that sense that I just refuse to participate. Whatever they want me to do, no matter how insignificant it is, I am just compelled to do the exact opposite. I just can't do it. You got to stand in this. You'll be 6 feet away from it. I'm going to be right up. I'll be breathing down the back of your neck. I'll be so close to you. I'll be nowhere near a dot. I assure you. But they're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to do the lockdowns for climate. You watch. And I mean, I hope they don't. I don't want them to. It's clearly a bad idea. But when you give them they're going to be able to justify this. I mean, you can see the justification in this document already, where they're talking about how they showed the satellite maps and gushed about how amazing it was that we were able to get those CO2 levels down in such a short amount of time by doing something as simple as just, you know, locking everybody in their house like they're prisoners. And they talked about how this was going to become an idea that is gaining traction. Well, think about that. Think about how the same COVID narratives that started early, 15 days to flatten the curve, turned into 15 months to flatten the curve, and how, you know, just take the shot. You know, we're just going to do one shot. And then it's like, well, now there's two shots. And then there's a third booster shot. And then they come out and say, well, you know, we're going to get to a point where what we don't want to have happen is for you guys, we've changed the definition of vaccination. Now it requires 3 shots to be vaccinated. And of course, all you people there, you have 2 shots. So technically you're unvaccinated. You're going to need to get your 3rd shot. They are exhausted from moving the goalposts. They just keep moving them. So that same strategy, that same mentality that has been used for COVID to sort of lull you in to a false sense of it's just going to be temporary. It says it's a minor inconvenience. What are you trying to kill grandma? They'll flip it and make you feel guilty. What are you trying to kill the planet? How dare I have to live on this planet, you fucking asshole. How dare you come out of your house? You're supposed to be in your house for another week. What are you trying to kill everybody? Same thing. Same insanity. Same disjointed logic. Vaccine passports? They'll never have vaccine passports, man. You're a conspiracy theorist for talking about vaccine passports. You should be deplatformed for talking about that crazy shit. Really? What's your favorite vaccine passport? You know what I mean? It's gone from that'll never happen, you guys are all crazy, to, oh, well, let's see. Who all is making vaccine passports right now? Oh, only every tech company out there? It's coming. So you'll be called a conspiracy theorist for rightly pointing this out to people when the climate hysteria really kicks off. And I think that the climate hysteria is going to be sort of like, they'll give COVID a couple years, then the climate change part will piggyback off of that. It'll be dependent. It's a game time decision on when COVID hysteria goes full blown. But my guess is as they start to recognize that that COVID is losing its luster, climate change will step up there and sort of take the baton and continue this 400 meter relay of to hell with all of this. With all of this bullshit. I don't know. There's got to be a better adjective. I'm sure I've got one in my brain, but vaccine passports will become climate passports. You know that. They've already talked about that. Whitney and I talked about that on her show. It was the credit card with the ESG. I'm going to do a whole episode on ESG, environmental, social, and governance. That's a component of, for businesses, it's a business designation that they're starting to give out for companies or industries that are thinking about business investing and things like that in a sustainable way. But it's not what you think it is. It's not this great thing that they're trying to say it is going to be. But you're going to see that as a component of the, we'll just call it the passport, you know, because it starts as a COVID passport. It will morph into something different. It will have climate components to it. What's your carbon output? Oh, yeah. Your carbon output is just a little bit too high to be buying that. In fact, it's so high, I can't even sell it to you. Because see, if I sell it to you, the computer will know that I sold it to you and your credit score is too low. Your social credit score is too low. I'm not even allowed to, my computer won't even allow me to complete the transaction. So you can't buy that thing that you wanted because climate change. So get ready for that, but also get ready for the social pressures. This will be the most infuriating part of it, much like it is now with dealing with the, clap for NHS. Remember that? Get out there on your balconies, you dummies, and clap for NHS. That didn't happen really here in the US. It was more of a Europe thing, UK specific, I guess. But we saw it in Italy. We saw it in Spain. We saw it in places like that. They're all locked in and they come out in their patios and do all that stuff. Whatever the equivalent of clap for the NHS is, will be used for climate. And the new nurses and doctors that were put on a pedestal when they weren't making TikTok videos because they were bored and had nothing to do will be some new type of person, some new climate engineer. I mean, it'll be like a Greta type or whatever. Exalted, put on pedestals. They'll make statues of them. Do you see the statue of the nurse that they made? That big old statue of the nurse out there? Yeah. I hope they vaccinated the statue of that nurse, or they're going to have to fire her. Have to tear down. Why don't they pull down that statue? Did you get those guys out there that are pulling down Robert E. Lee statues? Go pull that nurse statue down. She's unvaccinated. She's dirty. Fucking hypocrites. But climate Karens. Oh God, the idea of climate Karens just makes me sick right now. And you know what I mean. This is not specific just to women. Okay, let me be crystal clear on this. There's plenty of whatever the guy version of Karen is. There's plenty of them out there too, just being creepy and weird and Target following people. You see the video of them following this lady around because she wasn't wearing a mask and everything. Like, expect more of that, but on like times a million, because you're going to have, you know, you thought these morons felt empowered when they were deputized to fight against COVID and enforce mask mandates when they had no scientific background or they were completely unqualified to do any of that. Yet they accosted you in stores and told you you didn't have your mask up over your nose or asked you what your vaccination status was. Just imagine what they're going to do, what these people are going to feel compelled to do when they've been tasked with actually saving the planet. First, they were just saving everybody from COVID. Really, it was more selfish. It was maybe for them, their grandma, their community. They wanted you to wear that mask so that they wouldn't die and all that stuff. But as soon as these people are brought on and given the most important assignment of their entire lives, which is to save the world from carbon dioxide, a gas so dangerous that if we didn't have it, we'd all be dead because trees eat it. You know, it's tree food and oceans absorb it and things like that. You know, the stuff that we actually need, they're hysterical about. We've got to get rid of all of it, right? So imagine, much like you can't unpack your entire COVID argument with some dude in the produce section, you can't unpack the whole climate argument either. So you're going to be forced to fight some guy, what, with sound bites? You can't sit that guy down and say, have you ever heard of the Club of Rome? And be like, you're going to kill us all. You're like, let me talk to you about Dr. Alexander King and David Rockefeller. He'll be like, fuck you. I hope you die. You're killing the planet. You're killing the planet. So I hope you die. You know, that'll be the fun part too, when they start, virtue signaling about how they're here to save everybody. And you're like, no, thank you. I don't need the saving. I'm good. And they'll be like, well, then I hope you're dead next week. And you're like, okay, thank you. What about, we're already starting to see medical apartheid. What about climate apartheid? Papers, please. Segregation. Sorry, your social credit score is too low because your carbon footprint is too high, and therefore you're not allowed to get on this airplane. If there even are airplanes anymore. Oh, I'm sure Elon Musk will have an airplane. Or 20. But if you want one, or if you want to get on one, man, you better hope to God that your carbon footprint is low enough, because after you get done with that flight, they're going to take the carbon output of that airplane, divide it by the number of passengers on the plane, and you're going to get part of that output put on you, because it's your fault. Not Delta, not United Airways or American or Southwest or any. They'll all have exemptions, mind you. They won't be participating in this. You, on the other hand, will be responsible for paying your share of the carbon that you were a part of contributing to, carbon output from that airplane trip that you just took. And then there will be the mandates. Oh, the mandates. They certainly do love their mandates. I mean, nothing says democracy like telling somebody what they have to do. I guess if you want to get technical about it, democracy does tell people what they... Democracy is about telling people what to do. If you get enough people that want you to do it. It's very frustrating because the evidence of all of this insanity is out there. You just have to be interested in finding it. You have to be somebody that is motivated to get the truth or be somebody that is tired of being lied to. If you're in the COVID situation, you're forced to become like a makeshift expert on virology, you know, which I had never had any interest in doing. I don't like that stuff. I'm not interested. If I wanted to do that, I would have gone to medical school. I would have gone to a Rockefeller medical school so that I could have prescribed allopathic drugs to everybody in my entire career. I'm kidding. I would have never done any of that stuff. But you know, the way they're going to do this, the way they're going to sell this to the public is by doing your part to help prevent climate change, you are helping to contribute to the removal of inequality in this world. And you're going to go, wow, I'm part of removing inequality and saving the planet. That's amazing. And you walk off into your day. About halfway through the day, it'll occur to you, what the fuck are they even talking about? How am I preventing inequality by eating the bugs? And the answer is you're not. It's a trick. Don't fall for it. Oh, sorry. Sorry to do this to you, everybody, but that's just what we see. And that's what we see coming our way, that they will use the threat of climate change, global warming, and the like as the pretext to create their one world government. I'm not speculating. I'm just reading their own work. If you are interested in connecting with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. The Twitter following is growing at macroaggressions. Please join me on Twitter. You can watch me get banned at some point. It'll happen. I'm watching a bunch of people that I know get picked off one at a time too. So it's certainly coming, but you know, I like to go down swinging. So Bill Gates got me kicked off the first time around. He'll probably get me kicked off the second time too. But you can find the books. They're available on Amazon. If you're interested in bypassing Amazon and coming to me directly, you can do so. Donation via PayPal of $10 will get you the new book, Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. A donation via PayPal of $15 or more, I'll send you the first book too, The Octopus of Global Control. Both of these in digital formats as a PDF and an EPUB, so you can plug it into your e-readers and do it that way. Thank you so much for your attention. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family, and I will talk to you all soon.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.